Now we're going to read together again from the prophecy of Isaiah. We read from it last night and we turn to it again, this time first of all in chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now look please at chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. Verse 15. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Now look at chapter 48. Verse 17, chapter 48 and verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. O that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. There's a solemn verse at the end of this chapter, and it reads, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Now finally, in chapter 53, Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We know the Lord will add a rich blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. Isaiah uses what we may rightly term gospel language. And frequently throughout his great book of prophecies, he has terms and texts that if they appeared in the gospels, they would not be out of place. And the same would go if they appeared in the epistles. Somehow, Isaiah has got wonderful words from which we delight to preach the gospel. When I would be reading in the Roman epistle, I would find that the apostle is very, very fond of using the word peace. Most of you in the meeting tonight will know these words. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, if you read the epistle carefully, you would be impressed with the many times that the apostle uses that great word. For you know, this is something that every unsaved soul needs. He needs peace. And I want you to think of it as presented by the verses I have read tonight from Isaiah. And I want to preach a little word to you on the subject of peace from the verses in Isaiah's prophecy. You know, many people, we may not recognize it, and multitudes will not believe it, because every aspect of divine truth finds a counteraction by the devil. But let me tell you very plainly tonight, my sinner friend, that peace is in a man. I hope you get that. That's very simple, you know. And our Lord Jesus Christ is termed in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 as the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Now, if I were to take time to give you these divine titles, you would find them to be very, very illuminating. But all I want to tell you is this, that when I look at the Savior as termed the Prince of Peace, I see him as indispensable to peace. Whether it be Israel's peace, whether it be the world's peace, or whether it be eternal peace. But more particularly, dear friend, when it comes to personal peace with God, the Lord Jesus is absolutely indispensable. There is no way a person could have peace with God apart from the Lord Jesus. Peace is in this Blessed One. And if you have the Savior tonight and have trusted Him as your very own, remember, you have peace with God. But if you have just got philosophy, if you've just got religion, if you've just got something that has been man-made or man-fashioned, remember this, there is no peace. There is no peace. Peace is to be found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the Prince of Peace. Now, I move quickly because I don't want to occupy precious time unprofitably, but I want to assure you of something else, because I would feel that it's in this realm there has been tremendous mistakes made. Tremendous. I hear people say, many people have written, and many believe that it is their privilege to make their peace with God. Now maybe you would use that language. I would want to dissuade you in this. I want to diffuse that completely from your mind. I want to tell you that not only is peace in a man, but I want to tell you tonight that peace has been made. Peace has been made. God is not waiting upon you to make your peace with Him. I think you understand that. It may be that you have felt for a long time that you had to make your peace with God. But dear friend, peace has already been made. I hope you realize that. Now, you might ask me, what do you mean? I mean this, that God is offering you something that's already a divine, blessed reality. Peace has been made. And that is why I have read to you these golden words that look as a history rather than a prophecy in the language of Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace
was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. In those golden words of grace, dear friend, I want to announce to you, peace made. Peace procured. And the words that confirm the testimony of Isaiah are radiant in the New Testament, having made peace by the blood of his cross. I'm quoting you from the New Testament, from the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, and he's emphasizing this fact that I want to get through to your soul tonight. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Why, dear friend, is peace an absolute necessity as far as you are concerned? Well, notice these words, transgressions. Notice the word iniquities. Notice the word chastisement. Notice the word healed. By his stripes, we are healed. I want you to see in those words the traces, the taint of sin that courses in your being. When you look at the word transgressions, you are faced tonight with the awful fact of the defiance of sin. Sin, as we heard the other night, is rebellion. Rebellion against God. And as you sit in this gospel meeting, whether young or old, you're under this condemnation that your sin and my sin is an act of defiance against a sin-hating God. When I look at this word iniquities, it reminds me very, very forcibly of the determination of sin. That is, dear friend, iniquity is sin presupposed, pre-anticipated, predetermined by the sinner. Something you've thought about, something you've considered, and in spite of God's word, and in spite of God's law, you have been set in your determination to do that thing which God calls iniquity. Iniquity. So can you see the mountain rising, the defiance of sin, the determination of sin, and the very fact that the word of God here speaks of peace? What does it presuppose? The disruption of sin. The need for reconciliation. The enmity that sin has brought between you and God that has to be settled if ever you intend to be in heaven, my dear soul, in this gospel meeting tonight. And then, when we come to the word healed, doesn't it presuppose the disease of sin? The disease of sin. Now, when you think of this, the defiance of sin, the tremendous power that causes you to determine your sin, and think then of the disruption it has brought, and think of the disease of sin. Doesn't it make it clear, friend, there is something required? Something must be done? And it is something that you cannot do. Am I making it clear? But here are the words. He was wounded for our transgressions. What does that mean? That tells me, dear friend, of a suffering one upon the cross. And it tells me of the suffering that he sustained. He was wounded for our transgressions. And I point you tonight, friend, to the one, to the place, the one who made peace, and the place where peace was made at the cross when the Savior was wounded for our transgressions. The suffering that he sustained in order that your transgressions may be put away.
What does it say next? It says, he was bruised for our iniquities. What does that tell me? That tells me of the burden he bore. The tremendous load that was his. And that speaks to me of the voluntary substitute that voluntarily accepted that tremendous load that didn't belong to him. For thank God he had no sin. And thank God he died for our sins. Thank God there is not a portion, there is not a particle in the Word of God that even suggests in the most finest sense that he had any of his own. Thank God for that tonight. And the message is this. Here is the holy sufferer. Here is the voluntary substitute. And then listen to these words. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The timely surety. The price, dear friend, that he paid. The price that he paid. I love the words that were sung the other night. There is my surety. He firmly stood. What does that mean? Friend, if a person were to go guarantor for you and you defected, that person would have to pay everything that you forfeited. But I want to tell you, under God's law, there was something more than this. Are you listening? If I had taken $5 from a man under law, it were not good enough for me to simply pay him $5 back. What did God say? God said, if you have taken this from any person, in order to get the matter right, you have to add the fifth part. What does that mean? Instead of paying you $5, friend, under God's holy law, I would have to pay you six. Six. And here we are tonight, dear friend. We, shall I just liken it to this? We couldn't even pay the $5. Never mind the $6. But here is one that has stood in the breach. Here is one that has become our timely surety. And he has paid the price. He has not only paid, if you like it in the simple terms of my illustration, not only has he paid the five, but he has paid the six. For he said prophetically, I restored that which I took not away. And God has been fully satisfied with the death of his son, for the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He paid the price. He added the fifth part and gave to God such a revenue of glory that God is able to pardon the guilty that trust his living, loving, lifting son of Calvary. Oh, dear friend, what a gospel. Think of it tonight and come to these lovely words, and by his stripes we are healed. The mighty Savior. And I see in this the death that he died. The death that he died. I want to put it this way to you, friend. I trust you'll remember the simple words that I'm trying to use for your benefit. Think of the grace of it tonight, young man. Young friend, older one in the meeting. The grace of it. What is that? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Oh, the grace that brought him down from glory, friend. Oh, the grace that took him to Calvary to suffer on that cross for sin. Not his own, but mine. And to suffer so accountably that whatever, and I never be able to estimate what God exacted from his son. Never will I be able to fathom what God demanded from his beloved one. But this I know, that all God demanded, Christ gave fully when he gave himself. Oh, the grace of it, friend. Listen to it, the gravity of it. He gave himself, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Have you got it tonight? Can you not see the beauty of this peace being made at Calvary? What tremendous solemnity surrounds the cross of Calvary? That a mighty, matchless work was done. And when the apostle and my brethren, allow me to say this, I hope with both hands, when he wrote, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down." I want you to think of the grammar of, what's that? Listen, friend. It says he was wounded. It says he was bruised. See, that's taking us back to Calvary. As we sit in this meeting tonight, it's taking us back to Calvary. I want to bring you there. I want you to see peace made. I want you to see God's provision for your Christless soul, dear friend. But what does it say? And by his stripes we are healed. What's that? That's right now. Right now. Can't you see the matchless glory of the verse? Was the past. Are the present. That's the grammar of it, friend. What does that mean? That the work of Calvary wrought 2,000 years ago is as powerful at this moment of time as it ever was and as it ever will be if you will trust the Savior. That's what it means. And as you sit in this gospel meeting tonight and you cast your eye and faith to the Savior that suffered on the tree, I want to tell you, friend, at this instant and the very moment you do it, it will be a present possession of peace forever. Forever. Think of the greatness of it. What do you mean? I mean this, friend. I would not want to distort the word of God. But you know, I think that if I were at your side and you were really anxious to trust the Savior, I would say, listen, could you not read it for yourself? How many have done this? The greatness of this lovely verse. What is it? But he was wounded for my transgressions. Eh? Could you not see it tonight, friend? He was bruised for my iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. You know, there are millions of souls, I believe, in heaven tonight, and they did just that. They saw for the first time that it was for them. For you know, friend, to believe that Christ died for everybody would save nobody. But to believe that Christ died for me would save anybody. Would you not trust him tonight? It says in the verse I read in chapter 38, "For peace I had great bitterness." I know what I feel. I felt all day there's a soul in the meeting tonight and you're really concerned. and your longing for peace. Peace mourned for. You know, if you read that passage, you will find that the speaker has something very personal for you to see. My years, that may be very long, and that may be very short. And then he speaks about my soul. And you know how precious that is tonight. And you know what he speaks about? He speaks about my sins. My sins. My years. My soul. My sins. Very personal. You have got them. You have got a past. My years. You know, friend, you have got a present. My soul. That's going to go on forever. And on top of the whole thing, you have this. My sins. You see, you need peace. You need peace. You would need peace for the sins of the past. And here are the words. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. And thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Friend, that brings me peace. Would you have it tonight? In chapter 48, it's peace missed. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandment. Then had thy peace been like a river. You know what I'm going to put over there? That's peace missed. In death. Why? Because Isaiah speaks of what I would call a peace missed in life. Isaiah 59, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. And it says, whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Missed in death. Missed in life. And you know, friend, the most solemn verse, I think, in the whole of this book is repeated. There is no peace, saith my God, saith the Lord, to the wicked. That's missed in eternity. No peace. My dear friend, I trust you'll trust the Savior tonight. Find it in Christ. Find it in Calvary. Through conviction. And trust him. While you may.